Today, we'll talk about things that are driving me crazy at Disney World. That's coming up on this episode 60 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you so much for being here today for episode 60. Today is a rare rant from me. If you are a listener to other Disney World podcasts, you will know that I tend to skew a little bit more Lou Mangiello than Pete Werner, which is to say that I am typically more positive than I am ranty. But today is an exception because Disney World has been doing so many things that frustrate me, and I just want to get it all out and in some cases offer some solutions if you are having issues with some of these things and need to figure out how to fix it for your trip. This is also a rare episode that is not evergreen content, which is to say that if somebody tunes into this in 2015, this content will not be relevant. I try to make most of the podcasts evergreen so that if you listen to them a year after they are published, they still make sense. But this is an exception. So if you're listening to this in 2015 or 16, I would invite you to skip along, maybe go on to another episode, or just gloat in the fact that you are not having to deal with this stuff, hopefully. Hopefully these things are being resolved by the time you are visiting. Before I get into that today, just a reminder that you can always find me on social media, especially the Facebook page, facebook.com/WDWPrepSchool, which feels like such a community. I am there every day answering questions, interacting with people, and we do a Q&A on this on Sunday nights. Most Sunday nights, there is not one tonight because I am at Disney World right now. This is a pre-recorded episode that I normally do the episodes really close to the day they go live, so they're very, very current, but I actually pre-recorded this one because I'm at Disney World right now. And next week's episode will be my trip report. This trip is full of bucket list items for me, and I can't wait to tell you all about them, including the chef's table, which is the hardest dining reservation to get in Disney World, the Wild Africa Trek at Animal Kingdom, and we're doing both parks at Universal, and Party for the Senses for the Food and Wine Festival. Lots of things. We're packing it in into our five-day trip, and I can't wait to tell you about them next week. So let's dive into what's driving me crazy at Disney World. Now, before we get into the specifics, I have to tell you that I do realize that many of these things are due to some tests that Disney's running. I realize that many of these things are temporary things that are happening because Disney has closed some things and they are planning to open some things later. I get all that. And the issue for me is that these things are happening all at once. And so if you are a person who is planning to go to Disney World in the last part of 2014, the accumulation of all these things together is, to me, too much happening all at once. This is not about me personally. I go to Disney World four times a year. If something is an issue on one trip, I know I'll be back and I'll get to do that again. But my passion is helping people that don't get to go all the time, and maybe they have one trip, or maybe they don't get to go too often. And so they really need to make it the best trip possible. And I don't like those people being used as guinea pigs by Disney World and not handling their closures or their tests in a more graceful way. So I want to talk about what those things are today, and hopefully provide some solutions in some cases. I cannot provide solutions for all these things. Some of these things are just going to be annoying. So let's first talk about Magic Kingdom. And one of the things driving me crazy at Magic Kingdom is how the Be Our Guest restaurant is handled. Now, this restaurant is the newest restaurant in all of Disney World, and that's why it's the most popular. People always want to visit the new thing and check it out. And at lunch, it is considered a quick service. At dinner, it is considered a table service. So the dinner is something you can book 180 days in advance. It's very difficult to get. The lunch is a quick service. You used to be able to just walk up and eat there, although there was often a line. But Disney in 2014, they put a FastPass Plus in place so that people staying on site could get a FastPass Plus to eat there for lunch, which is weird to me. FastPass Plus to eat is a strange idea. However, it was separate from your ride fast passes, so it didn't take away from your three per day. It was just sort of a bonus thing. And this system was always called a test. It wasn't considered anything permanent. However, Disney has recently decided to occasionally only allow people in that have FastPass Plus. And what this means is that nobody who is off site can go in. It means that nobody who wants to line up early for the standby line can go in. And there are lots of empty tables. So I don't know what their thinking is behind this, but it's very, very frustrating. And I've never been a critic of the FastPass Plus system in general or my Disney experience. I sort of like digital systems and I sort of like trying to figure out, you know, new strategies with the systems we've been given. But this FastPass Plus exclusivity is not something I'm okay with. And I just think that's really frustrating that only people who have gotten that ahead of time are able to get it. Who knows how this will end up? They are currently saying in October 2014 that the only way to eat there is with FastPass Plus. They are also not making any FastPass Pluses after October available. So I don't know what the plan is long term there. I have been told that Be Our Guest could offer a breakfast option. Anything could happen. Stay tuned. I will always mention it on my email list or on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. Follow me in different ways and I will always try to keep you updated. But as of right now, it's only for FastPass Plus people. And so my suggestion to you is that if you had your heart set on eating there, have a backup plan in mind in case that does not happen. I happen to love eating at Columbia Harbor House. It does not have the charm of Be Our Guest, but it also doesn't have the stress involved. It has good food. So I would just have an alternative in mind. Don't make your whole trip hinge on this dining reservation or any dining reservation. Just sort of be prepared for this one to be a pain because Disney has set it up that way. Another thing, and just as a side note, they did do this at Anna and Elsa as well, where the only people that could go in had a FastPass Plus. That was a temporary test. It's no longer taking place. I don't know if they'll bring it back or not. But I'm just sort of trying to keep this in perspective that this is something Disney does sometimes. I just hate when it gets sprung on someone sort of last minute without any preparation. Another thing driving me crazy at Magic Kingdom are premium events being offered during the parties. So let's say that you pay to go to the Halloween party and then Disney offers another thing that you can do once you get inside. And they had a soiree available during the Halloween party. Now, when I'm sort of vented about this online on the Facebook page, some people got very upset with me because they said, it's a special event. You don't have to pay for it if you don't want to. Disney offers this as an extra. Why are you so upset? The reason is so upsetting is for me two reasons. One is that when the Halloween party tickets went on sale in May 2014, there was a certain description listed on their website for what would be included at this party. When they decided to have this special soiree, and that was announced in, I think, late August 2014, they edited their website. So the description of the party changed, and some of the things from the party, the characters, moved over to the soiree. So it was a bait and switch. You bought the party ticket thinking you're going to see one thing. Then Disney says, well, actually, not all of those are going to be available. You actually have to pay for these special soiree tickets in order to see them. So that's one reason. One, it's a bait and switch. My second reason is that I often think that these parties are something that first timers think they need to do in order to have a great trip. Now, I did read some great reports of the soiree. So it was, I also read some not so great reports. So I'm not saying that it didn't deliver value to people who paid for it and who attended, but it's definitely not required. You can definitely get away with not attending these special events and have a great time at Disney World. So it's optional and it just drives me a little bit crazy that first timers think they need to do it because they don't. And there'll be more on that later when I get to Hollywood Studios. So that's Magic Kingdom. Now let's talk about Epcot. Okay, Epcot is suffering currently from a lot of closures. And the first one that has caused a lot of controversy is Milestone being closed. And that closure is permanent and it's going to be replaced by a Frozen themed attraction that's coming in 2016. I'm not so up in arms about this as a lot of people in the fan community are. If you want to search, you can go on Twitter and search for the hashtag Save Milestrom, because fans are upset because this is a very classic ride that really served the purpose of the World Showcase, which was to offer culture and tell you about the country. And the perception is that a Frozen themed ride doesn't belong there because that's characters in the World Showcase. Okay, people may have a point with that. I'm just not particularly nostalgic. However, that's just one less ride that you can have at Epcot. So that's sort of annoying in this sort of interim period. The other thing is that they have taken away a lot of entertainment that was previously offered. And that includes Off Kilter, which is in the Canada section, the Fife and Drum Corps from the American section, Moroccan from the Morocco section, and the World Showcase players, which were in the UK section. And these were four different types of entertainment throughout the World Showcase. And in particular, Off Kilter was beloved, and they were there, I think, for something like 17 years. So those are gone. But they are replacing it. I think they're bringing in four or five new acts for the World Showcase. And they've already currently introduced one, and that is a lumberjack show in the Canada section. So the first thought is this is sort of problematic because the lumberjacks are sort of an American folktale, not necessarily Canadian, but okay, maybe if it's a great act, then it's worth a switch. However, the act debuted recently. I've seen a video of it. I will be seeing it in person this trip. However, it is not good. And I sort of feel bad for the people because they're coming in a very awkward spot and people didn't want Off Kilter to leave. And so you've got this new act that has come in. Maybe they'll get better. Maybe they'll improve. You know, I wish them the best, but from Disney, I don't understand Disney's thinking on this. It's just not a great idea. However, we have some more new acts that are coming throughout the World Showcase. I'm not clear about the timeline of those, but I do think that it's supposed to be in 2014. Just not comfortable with having all these closures and then having in the first new act be something that is so disappointing. So that's sort of what's going on at Epcot for me. That is a problem. Now, Hollywood Studios. Okay, so at Hollywood Studios, we have the Backlot Tour closing and the American Idol Experience closing. Neither of those is particularly problematic because a lot of people thought those should have happened a long time ago. American Idol Experience is tied to the TV show, which has ratings that have been dwindling over the last few years. And Backlot Tour was sort of a, you know, not a great attraction for most people. My son and I happen to love it. But, you know, this is not super problematic to have these two gone. However, it does reduce the total number of attractions in what is otherwise sort of an anemic park. You know, there's not a ton to do at Hollywood Studios. It's definitely becoming, at least for the time being, a much shorter day that needs to be spent at Hollywood Studios in order to cover all the attractions. But, you know, for people who are going right now who are missing two attractions and are not able to take advantage of whatever is being put in, you know, this is just, you know, you're paying a certain dollar amount to get in Hollywood Studios and you're getting a lot less attractions for that money. So, this is just sort of an issue that happens a lot with attractions being closed and new things being built. It happens. But the more problematic issue at Hollywood Studios is that they are currently doing a test at Toy Story Mania, and it's happening just, this episode goes up on Sunday, and so this test happened the previous week. And what happened was Toy Story Mania only allowed FastPass Plus people to ride. And this is super problematic because how many times have I said problematic? You could turn this into a drinking game. At Hollywood Studios, when you get FastPass Plus reservations ahead of time, they have tiers. And in tier one, there is Rock and Roller Coaster and Toy Story Mania. So you kind of have to choose which one you want to do. And then the other one is a great one to ride as a standby. However, if you chose to get a FastPass Plus or Rock and Roller Coaster and wanted to ride standby Toy Story Mania, you were completely barred from it. And I believe that the reason they are doing this is because they are planning to build another track at Toy Story Mania, and one or two of the tracks will be designated FastPass Plus only. The other will be standby. This is some sort of test that they're doing as they expand the capacity for the ride. I get that. But what about the people that are there? What about the people who are there with their kids and they wanted to ride Toy Story Mania. They knew their kids would like it and they've been saving up for this trip and now they don't get to ride it. I mean, what an awful experience for them. There had to be a more graceful way to go about this. I just don't get it. I understand testing, totally get it, but the families are losing out and not able to enjoy the things that they thought ahead of time. There was not even a warning. I mean, if there was some sort of story put out on the Disney Parks blog that said, we are going to be doing some testing, you have to have Fastpass Plus, you know, I don't know how practical that announcement would be because everybody would be flooding the Fastpass Plus system. But it's just unfortunate to plan and then have something thrown at you like that. And I feel bad for people that were stuck in that position. But again, that was only a test. I hope it does not continue. But they have been doing these tests in various ways. They did it at Soarin' at Epcot one time, also a disaster. They've done it, as I mentioned before, at Anna and Elsa. They've done it at now Be Our Guest for Lunch. So, you know, just be prepared for some kinks to be put into your plans if Disney decides to keep doing this for whatever reason. Another issue I have at Hollywood Studios is that they have recently announced that there's going to be a Frozen event during the holidays. This is crazy to me. It's a premium event. And unlike the premium events I mentioned earlier, like the soiree, this one does not hold a lot of value to me. This is probably the biggest game play for money that I've ever seen Disney do. So the event is $89 and it gets you seating at the Frozen sing-along. It gets you seating at Osborne Lights and desserts. You get to eat desserts while you watch the Osborne Lights. This is pretty crazy to me. So the Frozen event is the Frozen sing-along that they're getting you seating at also has a Fastpass Plus that you can get online ahead of time, or you can get in the parks with a return ticket to allow you to go in. So that is not super valuable to me. And then the Osborne Lights are not, you know, contained in one tiny area. It's this huge street with full of lights. There's not a particular spot that's going to be fantastic to view all the lights. I mean, it's just a big area. It would be like saying that on New Year's Eve in Times Square, you get a reserved area to watch, you know, the ball drop. I mean, that might be more valuable, but it's, you know, it's just a lot of people in the streets and I just don't see the value in having a particular area. So my suggestion is just to get a Fastpass Plus for the sing along, which will guarantee you to be able to get in and pick your seats at the show. And then just find a spot for the Osborne Lights to watch them. The last 30 minutes that the park is open is a great time to view the Osborne Lights because it's not very crowded. They actually leave the lights on an hour past the park closure. So you can linger and watch the lights and enjoy them past the park opening just because they leave them on. Usually that's the way it's worked in the past. And if you want dessert, there are plenty of desserts available that you can get while you watch it. Starring Rolls has fantastic cupcakes. So I think you can accomplish this and save yourself the extra $89 expense because this is a crazy ripoff to me. So don't do that. So anyway, this has sort of been the list of the fall winter 2014 that made me kind of crinkle my eyebrows up at Disney World, and I just don't get it. So anyway, I hope some of this has been helpful. Maybe you've been thinking the same thing. Maybe these things have been bothering you. Hopefully I've offered a couple of different solutions or at least just a validation of your frustrations. Before we wrap up today, I do have a quick tip of the day. And my quick tip of the day is that if you are staying in a Disney World resort, you should check your room for a bounce back offer. A bounce back offer is something that is usually in a folder on the table in your Disney World resort room. And it is a special deal that you can take advantage of if you book your next trip while you're at Disney World. If you don't see that folder, you can always dial extension 8844 from your room phone and ask them if one is available. Currently in fall 2014, people are being offered for offered free dining for fall 2015. So that is a very good deal because free dining is very, you know, exciting and coveted, and a lot of people look forward to it. And every year there's speculation that it's not coming back. But in fall 2014, that is being made available. For fall 2015, and I will have a link in the show notes with more details about that offer. But no matter when you're going, be sure to check for that so that you can take advantage of it if you plan to come back. I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, you can visit wwprepschool.com/episode60. That is the number 60. Until next time, I will see you on the site.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.